We're talking about Oregon State's offensive line taking a hit with Tyler Volton, ACL, MCL injury. Right before rivalry week when they take on the Oregon Ducks. In Corvallis, 12:30 kick. You can hear it right here on The Fan. I believe the pregame festivities on The Fan start at 6 a.m.
That is correct, sir.
Good Lord.
Yeah, Sinner and the Saint waking up early, getting you ready for a kickoff between the Ducks and the Beads. It's gonna be, I'm really looking forward to it, but one thing that both of these teams, I think through the first 2 weeks, we've noticed and seen, it's been quite apparent. A lot of NFL talent, really damn good players for both Oregon and Oregon State, moving on to the National Football League. And CBS Sports released their top rookies from week one of the NFL's regular season. And both of these teams were represented on that list. Number 10 was Jaguars wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. Now, I don't know. How much of that game did you watch? You watch any of that game?
I checked in a little bit just to check on the old Jags.
Did you see the Brian Thomas touchdown?
I did not.
He ran like an over route in the red zone. And so he crossed the hash and he caught it probably like halfway in between the opposite hash and the sideline in the end zone. And Trevor Lawrence let the ball fly when he was like in the middle of the field.
Okay, yeah, I just saw it. Yeah, and he just throws him open in the corner.
Effortlessly. Brian Thomas just like scampers over and just bloop, touchdown. Very similarly, there was a lot of times that I was watching that game going, he is so open. Why aren't they throwing him the ball? Just missed. Quarterbacks week one, rough week.
Not great.
Dallas getting Marshawn Neyland coming in at number nine, defensive lineman. He had, of all rookies, had the second highest pressure rate. So good for him. Number eight, though, was Bucky Irving, running back, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming in. Former Oregon Duck. And you remember hearing this over and over again. Todd Bowles waxing poetic on Bucky Irving and his production throughout the preseason and camp.
He feels like the kind of player that fits well with what the Bucs are kind of about now, particularly with Baker and how they're playing. Did you see the clip that came out of week one of Baker talking about Mike Evans?
No.
So there was a clip came out where he was mic'd up, and he said, if they don't bleeping double cover Michael Thomas, I'm throwing it, or Mike Evans, I'm throwing it to Mike. It was like, that seems like Bucky seems like the perfect kind of utility back to just take advantage of that. As teams roll coverage, as teams load up to take away Mike Evans, he is the kind of guy who can run underneath, but also be viable in the passing game. And I think he's a really, really, really good scheme and personnel fit for what the Bucs want to do.
But Bucky Irving reminded me so much of Ashton Jeanty, who we saw on Saturday at Boise State. He is definitely not 5'9". They are just little balls of muscle. Do not ever go down on the first contact.
Just bouncing off.
They run through tackles. They have incredible vision and are those like one cut backs that they will commit. And once they find their seam, they're committed to it and they're not going to dance back and forth, but they will run you over and snatch your soul. The only difference that we saw between, you know, Ashton Jeanty and Bucky Irving is Bucky Irving never had 25 carries in a game.
Yeah. And I remember last year saying, and I knew how crazy it sounded because of how good Bo was, but how important Bucky was. I said,
no doubt.
I think it was like week seven or week eight. I was like, I think Bucky might be the most important cog to this offense because Bo is going to do what Bo is going to do. But if Bucky Irving got going, it just opened everything up for everyone else because he had the capacity to do everything else, to fill in all those different places, to get you the hard yards between the tackles, to break an explosive on the edge, to catch a pass out of the backfield. He's that running back that can be on the field that you don't need to switch out on third downs. He's a guy that you can trust in pass, bro. And I think those are the kind of things where you look at that Tampa Bay team. We talked about this in kind of like previewing this season. this Tampa Bay team doesn't have the most talent in the world, but they're really good basically everywhere. Like, Baker's a top 10 and probably 10th best quarterback in the league. They've got Mike Evans, who's is Mike Evans the new Larry Fitzgerald, the most underrated wide receiver that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes. I'll give that to you because I will say yes, because now he would fit that bill. But he's still not the level of Larry Fitzgerald is like a top 10 receiver all time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm just saying, like,
right? No, I'm not.
His name never comes up when you talk about the. Everybody yeah. wants to talk about Jamar and Justin and
you're
Stephon
right.
Diggs. And I'm like, and there's two guys in the league that I would take over him. That's it.
And this is, but this is the entirety of his career too. Mm-hmm. Though Mike Evans has never been seen as the guy who's like the number one receiver in the National Football League, but you're right, he is like a first ballot Hall of Fame talent, and production wise, he fits that mold as well.
He's never had less than 1,000 yards in a season.
Yeah, he's freaky good, and he's had some terrible quarterbacks.
That's what I mean. Like, in Tampa Bay, he's never had less than his career low is 1,001 yards.
Yep, but look, they also got Jalen McMillan from UW too, who's going to be really stinking good in the NFL this year. Turns out those receivers just weren't good in college. They're really good NFL receivers too.
Oh no way!
Oh my gosh!
Because Odunze, McMillan and Polk in New England, they're kind of fitting into this mold too of like, hey, Rome Odunze is going to be a number one in the NFL. Jalen McMillan was the number two on that team, but he is like, you always said, yeah, he could be a number one. Well, it turns out he goes to the NFL, and it's like, yeah, he's a number two on his team, but he could be a number one eventually. And then Jalen Polk is. God, that guy's really good, and he's the third best receiver on his team last year. This year, it is New England doesn't have any receivers, but that Polk kid probably is going to be a really good receiver. So, turns out Washington's receiver, impressive.
Not bad.
Very impressive. But Bucky Irving coming in at 8 on the list of rookies in week 1 of the NFL. This should shock nobody. Called this shot because they have a void of talent, but Ladd McConkey led the Chargers in receiving in week 1. Now he only had 39 yards, but 5 catches. He is going to be Justin Herbert's safety blanket in LA with the Chargers. So take note, put that in the back of your mind. Kamari Lassiter of the Texans at corner, he comes in at number 6. I don't know why he's on there, to be quite honest, but he allowed one completion in his debut.
There you go.
I think that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Steelers center Zach Frazier is number 5 on the list. And then you have former Oregon State Beaver, Talese Fuaga, Saints left tackle. Think about this. This is what the CBS Sports writes about Fuaga. He's one of two rookies unbeaten in pass protection in week 1. Only 2 of them.
Yeah. And the other ones at the top of this list.
But take into consideration they were playing the Panthers and Derek Brown got hurt.
Yes.
But the Oregon State product, Talese Fuaga, he is an insane talent at left tackle. Mm-hmm. And Oregon State, you'd never had to worry about what was going on the edge because of Talese Fuaga. And then on the left side of your offensive line last year, Joshua Gray, Talese Fuaga, those two guys, that's one thing that if you're an Oregon State fan, you've got to hope that whatever that formula was that Jonathan Smith had built up, that really, and quite honestly, he got pieces of from Chris Peterson up at Washington. He got pieces of it from Mike Riley in Oregon State. It is what the metrics that you look for when you say, all right, this is a frame of a guy that other teams are overlooking, but we can develop into, you know, a high caliber college and NFL offensive lineman. Because if Trent Bray and then Kyle Devan, their offensive line coach, and Ryan Gunderson, their offensive coordinator, can continue to find those guys, develop them, that is going to be what sustains Oregon State football. It's what Gary Anderson obviously didn't do in his time in Corvallis. But Fuaga was one of those guys that he came in raw. They made him into and helped. I mean, they didn't make him into it. He made himself into it. But they got him to a level where he was one of the best offensive tackles, not just rookies, one of the best offensive tackles in the NFL in week one coming out of the gate. Granted, it was against the Carolina Panthers, but it's the National Football League. Talis Fuaga was an absolute dude. Third on this list, Xavier Worthy. Turns out, really fast, really good. Patrick Mahomes likes to throw him the ball.
It's useful to be dumb fast. Now, you don't have to worry about getting pressed if nobody can ever put their hands on you.
No, and as I said, when that 7-on-7 clip came out, Andy Reid's going to motion the you-know-what out of that guy. Mm-hmm. You will not be able to touch him. He's going to have a... He'll either be off the ball and have a yard cushion, or they're going to be moving him all over. Good luck slowing him down off the line of scrimmage. Number two, Joe Alt. Chargers. We talked about Joe Alt. He went one-on-one, not against the Carolina Panthers. Rather, he went one-on-one 11 snaps head-to-head with Max Crosby, one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League.
Who's relentless.
And did not allow a single pressure in his debut.
That's pretty damn impressive.
I would say so.
And they said that Alt still needs to work on stuff.
And look,
like, as far as technique. And it's like, oh, okay. So apparently just being a 6'8", 330-pound dude is really useful.
We talked about this yesterday when you were out. But we regard Trent Williams as the best left tackle in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Just to, like, pound home how hard it is not to allow a single pressure. Trent Williams didn't allow a pressure all game against the Jets. That was the first time he'd done that since week three of 2022.
And he's
the best left tackle in the NFL.
Yeah. Not a very common thing to have happen.
No, and we had two rookies this year in Fuaga and Joe Alt who did it week one.
Not too bad.
That's pretty damn impressive, man.
Number one on the list, I think, is a little bit surprising in Jared Verse, mm-hmm. because he was a guy, I think, that went kind of unnoticed and unsung. I mean, not unsung as a first round, you know, top half of the lottery or top half of the draft pick, but he was a guy that typically when you talk about pass rushers, particularly in the first round, You think of guys that are going to be immediate impact. They come with a name, you know, it's whether it's the Jadeveon Clownies of the world or Javon Curse or, you know, the big time names that kind of come with pass rushing. And Verse was not one of those guys. Like, he was looked at as like, yeah, he could put it together, he could be special, but he wasn't regarded on that same level enough to where you'd take him in front of, you know, what would he end up going in the draft? Was it 11? No. God, I can't remember where he was picked at. No, he was 12? He was in the teens.
I don't know.
Anyways, my point being, he went out there and he had one of the highest pressure rates of, like, the guys with volume in week one.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a start, particularly for a Rams team that's missing Aaron Donald. Where now opponents can divide their attention. It's more of a divide and conquer situation as opposed to throwing a guaranteed double, if not triple team at Aaron Donald.
19th. He went 19th overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, and he may be getting a bump based on the fact that everybody was so interested in what their pass rush would look like in LA without Aaron Donald. And when you have a guy who performs the way he did, they're like, no, that's pretty damn impressive. And it was. Because think of who he was going up against. He was going up against one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Full stop. The Detroit Lions have one of the best offensive lines in the entire NFL. And this rookie came in and he got pressures. Now, he didn't make life a living hell on Jared Goff. But at the same time, he affected so many plays in that game that that's exactly what you want to see. And I think he gets a bump because of replacing Aaron Donald, and everybody was so interested to see what that looked like. And two, the offensive line he went up against, it wasn't like he was going up against the Carolina Panthers, right, or the New York Giants. He was going up against the Detroit Lions, and that offensive line is dominant.